Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Big things ahead this weekend, and that includes this Friday here on the Sports Grid Network. It is hour number 3, our third and final, up until 11 a.m. Eastern on this Friday edition of the Early Line. All across the Spiz Grizz Network, that's Sports Grid. He's Donnie Wrightside, and I am Ben Stevens. DRS, you ready for a new program on the Sports Grid Network starting today at noon Eastern time? Relive the excitement in Singapore. That means Live Golf. Tune into the Live post-round show for highlights and insights today at noon Eastern and this weekend, 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern time here on Sports Grid. You going to be up and at 'em for that show tomorrow?
Absolutely. But I thought you were introducing like my solo show now in the afternoon on the radio here on the network. I thought that was what the hype was about to be at this point. Guess not. But I do love myself some golf, some Live Golf to get into it here. But that's why I thought you were going to give me a nice promo here. Yeah, get the people ready.
Listen, the Moneyline, a.k.a. Donnie's MLB Handicapping Hour, is a great show.
Baby.
But come on now. Be nice. You know we're friends. Be very, very nice. It's a it's a huge weekend ahead, by the way, in the sports landscape. So many things happening. NBA playoffs, we might see the start of round number 2 everywhere around the association, depending on what happens tonight. But we'll get into the second round this weekend. Of course, Major League Baseball continues to toll. NHL playoffs, Stanley Cup postseason. We're going to get a Game 7 in Boston tomorrow night. It's the first Saturday in May. That's the Kentucky Derby. I know we have a graphic. There it is. I was told we needed to preview this big weekend ahead. The CJ Cup, Byron Nelson, because despite the Live promo, we're PGA Tour guys here on this FanDuel-sponsored show. In the Madrid Open, as Grand Slam season in tennis starts as well. Huge weekend ahead, DRS.
It is a big weekend ahead, and rightfully so. You know, again, the surrounding circumstances of the Kentucky Derby are actually interesting here. Is it something that I'm going to watch all day long? But when you're flipping through the dial, I do like to take a look at it because I like all the people in the environment. Is it going to be a nice day? And also the lead up to the Kentucky Derby is fun. And just about everybody throws, what, 5, 10, 20 bucks here on a winner. You have some fun to see if it comes out there. But you do have a nice weekend in the NBA and also the NHL. For me, my Sixers being out of it, it would have been a much bigger weekend if the Sixers forced a game number 7 and you had that intrigue in the Garden on Saturday. That would have been fantastic, but it's not there. Oh. The NHL playoffs have been great, and I've been tuning into them left and right, which includes maybe my favorite series along right now is Boston going up against Toronto, which I do think has a lot of interesting fun for a game 7 there. I don't know. To be honest, I don't know why I clicked the button for the NBA playoffs at 23.2%. Now that I think about it, maybe it is a Kentucky Derby. Maybe it is the NHL that's better at this point here than the NBA, even though the week include tonight, and I am rooting on 2 teams to close out their series to put some cash in my pocket. So there, talked myself right back into it. Yeah, the NBA playoffs this weekend. No brainer.
There you go, DRS. We'll get to that poll in just a moment. Question for our producers and maybe Donnie Wrightside as well. When does game number 1 in the potential series between Boston and Orlando and Cleveland start? Because I'm looking through the schedule here in the NBA, and I don't see Boston listed anywhere. They do feature Oklahoma City, who, again, awaits the winner of the Mavericks and the Clippers series. That game number one would be on Tuesday. A little bit perplexed. Monday is game number one. Yeah, go ahead. Keep going. Yeah, Sunday? Sunday or Tuesday. Oh, okay. All right, so if the Cavs win tonight, Sunday in Boston for game number one, Tuesday if we see a game seven, which is a potential. We could see a doubleheader of game sevens, by the way, in the NBA if Orlando wins tonight and the Clippers pull off a stunner on the road in Dallas. What is the public most excited for this weekend? Is it the Derby? Is it the Stanley Cup playoffs? Is it the action in the association? That was the question in Fade the Public. Man, you got to wonder what's happening in the association, at least for our Sports Grid crowd here on this Friday. Which sporting event are you most excited for this weekend? We listed three: the Kentucky Derby, the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. The NBA comes in dead last. Nearly 45% of the public is saying the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby, with the Stanley Cup playoffs coming in second. Donnie, what do you think the reason for the NBA coming in last is?
Because I think the NBA starts every game at 9:30 or later from here on out, so we can't even watch it, let alone get excited for the NBA playoffs at this point. But yeah, I don't know why the NBA is actually lower than that. I'm surprised by this early. Not the Kentucky Derby is a big deal. I understand that. I'm not a horse racing guy, but I got to be honest. As I said again, I do tune in to the Kentucky Derby, and it's one of those weekends where maybe you're starting some new playoff series more than you're ending them, and it's not as exciting. But I'm actually flummoxed here that the NBA playoffs are below the NHL playoffs, which is really interesting. And Ben, this wasn't a, oh, look at this, 25% to 24%. It was basically 33% to 23%, a big difference here. So maybe it's again, two things. The NBA is on too late here, which technically it's not, but I'm going to carry that crusade along. And also, okay, there are a lot of Sixer fans out there. There's a ton of Sixer fans. They lost. Nobody cares anymore about the playoffs. That's the only thing I can surmise out of that.
Maybe it's just this weekend. We only have one game tomorrow on a Saturday, albeit a great one, Denver versus Minnesota in the first game of the second round of the NBA playoffs. But we have two great game sixes tonight to close out scenarios in Dallas and first potentially in Orlando for Cleveland on the road with that 3-2 series lead. Stanley Cup postseason action is always great. A game seven tomorrow in Boston, and then we get into the second round as well with the Rangers and the Hurricanes. We'll have a preview of everything you need to know on the ice with Casey Hudson later on in this third and final hour. Now, I voted for the Kentucky Derby. There's some bit of nostalgia for me that the Triple Crown is just a different level of event because it is new and exciting and not the NBA playoffs or NHL playoffs that we see each and every night throughout the week. I just like all of the pageantry around the Kentucky Derby, so I look forward to that. It's 2 minutes. It's fast. It's quick. I'll probably lose whatever wager that I make on it, despite hearing from Dubsy, and I'm sure some more by the time we get to post tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern. But I do love the Kentucky Derby for what it's worth.
By the way, BSS, you grew up as a California kid. Is there, like, this is basically an East Coast event here in the Triple Crown. Do the West Coasters get upset about this, or they don't look at it that way? Is that, hey, why don't we have a Triple Crown out here on the West Coast to throw us a little bit of a bone here?
Listen, big things happen at the Breeders' Cup. That's somewhere in California. The Santa Anita Derby, I think, is a part of the qualification of the Kentucky Derby. I used to go to Santa Anita with my family the day after Christmas. Mm. It's when the park would open up, the racetrack would open up. One time, a member, my family friend, I don't even know who he was, won a race, took us all out to P.F. Chang's afterward because he hit a big ticket, I think very fondly of that day.
Yeah, that is wraps, man. You can't go wrong with that. I mean, you might be... might be there this weekend now. Start talking about some P.F. Chang's action here. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Honestly, the lettuce wraps at P.F. Chang's.
Mongolian beef banging. Yeah.
I mean, now you're talking yourself up. Maybe it's how you're going to break the fast on this Friday.
Look, we only got a couple more hours to go. We're running on about 23 hours right now. Look at the energy in me. Everybody out here, dude, come on. We can do it for this next year. Everybody eat one time a day. Bring the energy like your boy DRS. Yeah. We'd be a better society. We would be. Just would be.
Don't eat dinner, just fast, and you'll have that high energy even here
always.
In the mornings. I will have a box exacta, an exotic play for the Derby coming your way before we give you a best bet before the weekend gets here on the Sports Grid Network. Next up, what do we have? Oh, we're getting you ready for the Diamond Dash. Some Major League Baseball plays on this Friday. Not just the money line from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern time for Donnie's MLB handicapping hour, but up next here on the early line to set the weekend stage around the diamond. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The weekend series around Major League Baseball begin on this Friday. Yesterday, only 6 games, a short slate. Today, it's a full one. 15 matchups, all 30 MLB clubs in action, including the two frontrunners for a World Series and a National League pennant. Facing off this weekend at the Ravine in downtown Los Angeles, it's the Dodgers hosting the Braves. Game number one tonight in Los Angeles, 10 p.m. Eastern time, first pitch for us on this side, but of course in L.A., 7 p.m. local. The Dodgers DRS have been booked as a favorite in all but one of their games this year. Could they be an underdog with home field advantage even at a certain point this weekend against Atlanta? Maybe. Only minus 118 for the Dodgers as the home money line favorite today. The Braves, even money on the other side, plus 100. What do you expect in the opener of this set tonight? What do you expect this weekend in Los Angeles between the Dodgers and the Braves?
Yeah, maybe a preview of the NLCS that we're going to get a glimpse of tonight. If you take a look at both of these teams, added in the right direction, both having very good seasons. Maybe with the expectations on the Dodgers to open the season been a little bit unfair. They're fine. They're in first place. And if you would have told any Dodger fan, hey, look, May 3rd, we're in first place, you'll take that moving forward because you do think better times are ahead because that frontline pitching staff is going to get better and healthier as we move along for the summer for those Dodgers. But if we're looking at this game individually, it's the trustability, Ben, of the starting pitchers, and you probably trust Charlie Morton just a little bit more. If you take a look at Morton on the season, 120 batters he's faced. How about this? An ISO of 112 combined between lefty and righty batters and a weighted on base percentage of 285. That's phenomenal here. Even though you're going up against a murderer's row lineup this season that does include Mookie Betts leading off against right-handed pitching, a 250 ISO and a 461 weighted on base percentage. But wait, there's more. It gets better. Oh. Shohei Ohtani, left-handed batter coming up against right-handed pitching this season, a 443 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 530. Other guys that are high there, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, Max Muncy, and Teoscar Hernandez all the way through. So the lineup is very good, but maybe you take a look at the pitching staff here for the Atlanta Braves, which does include their bullpen, hopefully can hold them down. Let's flip it over quickly. Gavin Stone, one of the pitchers that maybe you don't trust. Last year, if you're looking at 152 batters faced, elevated ISO, elevated weighted on base percentage. He's been better, though, this year. He has been. 105 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 291. Close game, as you said, with the actual line on the game, but I'm looking more towards an under. Even with those great bats on both sides here, give me the under 9.5 runs. I don't know if they can get to 10 here with those two.
Yeah, 9.5, a rather lofty total in Los Angeles, but it does make sense. The Dodgers have gone over in 18 of 33 games. Atlanta got off to a strong over start. Now a ton of unders. 15 of the 29 games Atlanta has played have stayed to the under. Of course, this is a matchup between two of the best in the bigs, two of the three teams in the National League that have 20 wins. The Braves have the best record in all of Major League Baseball at 20-9. The Phils, though, as Donnie knows, have the most wins in all of Major League Baseball with 21. The Dodgers still the favorites to win the National League pennant. Atlanta not all that far behind. Donnie, we've said this a few times. Now it's the month of May. We start to change our assessment ever so slightly of what we see in MLB. And these wins count for the same as wins in September or even in late August. So when you look at this series and you see those odds for the rest of this season, do you expect them to change even ever so slightly by the end of the weekend in Los Angeles?
Maybe slightly at best. And case in point, we just saw a series, Ben, between the New York Yankees and the Baltimore Orioles. Four-game set, three wins to the Orioles. Hey, they should be the decided favorite now for the rest of the summer over the Yankees. That's not the way Major League Baseball works. Because,
right,
again, you got to win your division, yes, but to win the actual championship, you're going to have to see these teams again in a playoff series. And the only thing that matters is, how do you think your frontline pitching winds up and matches up against the other team here? It might change slightly, and it might be good to file away if the Braves can go on the West Coast and pick up a series. But as I told you before the series even starts, the better pitchers are headed back for the Los Angeles Dodgers as the summer goes.
Yeah.
And then maybe a later series will be a better preview. But I'd like to see them match up toe-to-toe. Let's see what happens out there in Chavez Ravine.
We also learned Walker Buehler for LA would make his return to Major League Baseball on Monday. Welcome news for the Dodgers,
yeah,
and that starting staff. Yeah. LA right now, minus 1150 to win the National League West. I think they were minus 600 before the year got started. They've won the division 10 of the previous 11 years, and now they are the only team with a winning record in the National League West, despite the Arizona Diamondbacks, the reigning NL pennant winners being there, the Padres and the Giants being there. In fact, the Dodgers not just the only team above 500, the only team that is better than two games below 500. That includes the Giants, who are on the road this weekend at the Bank in Philadelphia. Again, the Phils the most wins in Major League Baseball with 21, and Aaron Nola has been great as of late. Philly nearly a dollar and a half favorite tonight at home against San Fran.
Yeah, the Phillies probably have the best starting pitching staff in Major League Baseball. And how about this? Pitcher of the month last month was Ranger Suarez, Ben. 5-0 with a 0.74 ERA. He's not even your one or two. He's basically a three and has been that dominant. Just shows you the depth now the Phillies have in that frontline starting rotation. But let's get down to the business tonight. Aaron Nola has been sensational against right-handed batters this year, Ben. Look at this. A 108 ISO power number, weighted on base percentage of 242 through about 80 batters. Lefties is a completely different story. Right around 80 batters he's faced from the left side, a 264 ISO power number and a 356 weighted on base percentage. Why does that line up tonight for the San Francisco Giants? They don't have a great lineup, but they can put as many as 5 to 6 lefties in the lineup tonight, which might be a thorn in the side of Aaron Nola. If we flip it over to the other side, a pitcher that maybe not as well known as Aaron Nola, let me just get this starting set, Jordan Hicks on the mound, the righty, he's been really good, Ben. 129 batters he's faced this year. Take a look at this. ISO power number combined between lefties and righties is an 069, a weighted on base percentage of 234. So the Phillies, after that long, successful road trip coming home, and we had those hot temperatures here in the Northeast the past couple days. That's not going to be the case tonight. 60 degrees, almost like a San Francisco-type temperature with winds blowing out to left field here. Maybe an underdog price makes some sense, but you saw that 7.5. You know, I love overs. I don't know if this game gets to the over, though. I'd like the under 7.5 here.
We've got a big matchup in the National League Central between the two top teams in the division this weekend as well, as we continue to preview what you can expect on this Friday and into the weekend sets around MLB. Up next here on this Friday on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A little bit of day baseball at Wrigley Field. Mm. It's a Friday tradition in Chicago, and it's a matchup this weekend at Wrigley between the Cubs and the Brewers, the two top teams in the National League Central, both with 19 wins. Milwaukee just has two fewer losses, only 11. The Cubbies with 13 after splitting the set against the New York Mets. The Cubs were in action yesterday, now fly back home to the friendly confines and some day baseball. Chicago booked as the home favorites, minus 124 against Milwaukee. Where are the winds blowing? Because 7.5 is the total, and Milwaukee has the highest over percentage in all of MLB.
Flags blowing in today at Wrigley, so the friendly confines might be friendlier to pitchers than they are hitters today. Again, it's 10 miles an hour. It's not as if you hit the deep shot in the center field, it's going to get blown back to second base. Come on now, people. We can still get some runs today, but the pitchers are going to have a say in that. Joe Ross on the mound for the Brewers, he's actually had some pretty good numbers. 119 batters he's faced, Ben, an 086 ISO, man. So not a lot of extra base hits and a weighted on base percentage right about average at 330. You flip it over to that Cubs lineup against right-handed pitching this year, Ben, it hasn't been great. You take a look at Talkman, Bush, and Pete Crow Armstrong as really the only positive batters power-wise in that lineup. So maybe Ross getting a break here with the weather conditions and the lineup. Now let's flip it over. This is going to be interesting because you might need to think about the process of which way you choose of who's going to win this game. Wisniewski on the mound, 39 batters he's faced, which isn't a lot, but an 0.26 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 164 against them, that's microscopic at this point. Last year through 377 batters, he wasn't that good of a pitcher. Now also, we just talked about the lineup here for the Chicago Cubs not being that good. Look at Milwaukee heading into this. And keep in mind also, this is without Christian Yelich in the middle of that lineup. Sal Frelick to lead off at an 0.52 ISO, which is terrible. The next four batters, all positive. Then you get to Bryce Turang, a 1.31. The next three batters, all positive. The better lineup here, technically, is with the Brewers. We just don't know which Hayden Wisniewski we're going to get today. Last year's bad or this year's good? And the wind's blowing in. Yeah. There's a lot more question marks. But for me, if I'm just from a pitching perspective and a batting shot, Milwaukee's probably the side for me today.
7.5 is that total. A so-so start to this year for the reigning World Series champs, the Texas Rangers. Two games above 500, 17 and 15. On the road this weekend in Kansas City, the Royals, a great start. 19 wins, 19 and 13, and a slight home favorite tonight for KC. What happens inside Kauffman Stadium?
Michael Lorenzen going to be on the mound for the Texas Rangers. And I don't like the way this is going here so far, Ben, on a Friday, to be honest, because I'm waiting for some of these games that we're going to preview that's like, oh my goodness, let's get these runs. Because Michael Lorenzen, hey, look at this, 69 batters he's faced this season, 105 ISO, weighted on base percentage 301, which is really good. It's a talented lineup for Kansas City, but he should be able to offset that. 75 degrees, however, here in Kansas City tonight, that should help us out. Let's flip it over to the Texas side of the plate, who they're going to go up against Brady Singer, 138 batters he's faced, Ben, a 172 ISO, which is right about average, but he has a very good weighted on base percentage of 277. Now, the lineup tonight going up against right-handed pitching for the Texas Rangers, Ben, has done very well this season. First six batters in the lineup, weighted on base percentage, 327, 312, 378, 377, 367, 387 here. So I think the better team overall for me tonight probably will be Texas, but not happy with the outputs here. I'm looking for some of these games. I go, man, these lineups should crush this pitcher. We're not getting them just yet.
What about in Houston? The Astros, a slight favorite, minus 116. American League West divisional duel. The Mariners, the top team in the division at this moment, 17 and 14. The Astros have won, though, four of their last five. 8.5 is the total. Some offense in H-Town, perhaps?
George Kirby's on the mound today, 135 batters faced, a 142 ISO, a 284 weighted on base percentage. Why do we put ourselves through this misery here on a Friday? So you say, well, okay, let's get some help on the other side. Ronel Blanco, who was terrible, Ben, last year with an ISO of 210 and a weighted on base percentage of 357 through 226 batters. This year, 128 batters. An 0.63 ISO against and a 2.16 weighted on base percentage. Maybe Major League Baseball is going to put the juice baseballs back into today for us to have some fun. So not a lot of great. Hey, man, look at these guys for RBI chances today so far. We're having a little bit of a damper right now in Major League Baseball in this Friday show.
I know we're going over up in the Bronx, 7.5 the total between the Yankees and the Tigers, right?
All right. Well, let's take a look here from the Yankees' perspective. Hey, deep ball shots tonight, 55 degrees. Reese Olson. Yeah, Reese Olson. An 0.57 ISO and a 2.86 weighted on base percentage against 123 combined batters. I don't know. Maybe it's you know what? That means Saturday should be absolutely tremendous. So hold on, people. Hold on.
Saturday, that's where it is. To the ice up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A weekend ahead in the Stanley Cup postseason in the National Hockey League that we get you set for live right here on this Friday on the Early Line. I am Ben. Donnie's on the right side. And in the middle, it's one of our favorites, Casey Hudson, to get you set for everything you need to know around the Stanley Cup playoffs. A look back on the only game last night. The Bruins fail once again to clinch a series. The Leafs extend to 7. Casey will tell you how. And then we'll preview the weekend and a doubleheader on this Friday as well. Casey, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on the Early Line.
Of course. Two of my favorite people to chat with, and not just hockey, but as you mentioned, wow, one game last night, and it was ugly. It was not the exciting kind of Stanley Cup playoff game that you want to see. A lot of drama on both benches here. So in game 7, it's going to be interesting to see whose drama doesn't take over entirely that much more. You got the Boston Bruins, who gave up a 3-1 series lead last year, so that's taunting them as they head into game 7. And you've got the Leafs that are trying to hang in there regardless of not having Austin Matthews. Who knows what his status will be coming up here, but Nylander pulled through just like they hoped that he would.
No Austin Matthews last night. William Nylander scores both of the goals for Toronto. The Leafs force a 7th game back in Boston with the 2-1 victory last night in game number 6. Because no Austin Matthews, the Bruins closed as a road ice favorite, the Leafs cashing a plus money ticket. How did Toronto extend this series to a 7th game?
The weirdest way possible. All of a sudden, Toronto can play defense. I think I was one of many people shocked last night to see how well they managed their D zone. I mean, starting with the fact that they came up with 27 block shots on the night, they made it impossible for the Boston Bruins to get into any sort of scoring rhythm. They took away all of their passing lanes. They cycled the puck tremendously, which means they were pinning Boston in their own zone for a lot of the game. You can't go through 30 minutes of hockey with one shot on goal, and that's exactly what they did to the Boston Bruins. They made it impossible for them. So could they keep that up? Who knows? We haven't seen the best consistent defense out of the Toronto Maple Leafs. They did make a line change that may have helped them. Ryan Reeves did not play last night, and that shows you that they took more of a disciplined approach to that game. They're trying to stay out of the box. Yes, there were some questionable calls, but I don't think it counted against them. At the end of the day, the Maple Leafs were the better team last night. They showed up in all aspects of the game. They even came out with a lot of forechecking, and they just outplayed the Boston Bruins. They kind of got in their heads a bit there. So the Boston Bruins also have to step up on the depth charts. I had DeBrusk to be a huge guy for this series. Started off hot, kind of fell off. I know Mott said that Pasta needs to step up, but as much as your star players are significant in these games, depth scoring and defense is really what counts when it comes to Stanley Cup playoffs. So Geeky has to get hot. You've got to get more out of Coyle. You've got to get more out of your leader in Marchand. You can't be out there pushing around with the refs because you're pissed off that you got knocked on the ice last game. So they've got to get out of their own way if they're going to get out of this series past the Maple Leafs.
Back-to-back victories, too, without Austin out there, a guy that scored close to 70 goals this season. Now, in hockey, upper body injuries, lower body injuries, we never know the true tale of what that injury is. Hopefully, for the Maple Leafs, they might be able to get him back. But as I said, just won back-to-back games without him. Let's move forward to tonight, 10 o'clock, out at the Fortress. The Vegas Golden Knights versus Dallas. Finally, somebody won on their home ice. And how about this? Not a lot of respect for the home ice tonight. A de facto pick 'em here, and maybe even a slight favorite for Dallas tonight. What happens tonight, Casey, between Dallas and Vegas?
Yeah, this one's going to be a tough one. I had this going to 7 games, actually, just like the Bruins-Leafs series, because both of these teams are extraordinarily talented. Where Dallas is edging at the moment is that they're forcing the Vegas Golden Knights forward units to play a lot of two-way hockey. They can't release their forwards to focus on scoring because Dallas just has too much speed. Their breakout speed alone is just causing a lot of issues. And then you've got leaders on the back end that can manage defensively and help them out. They did bolster their blue line in the offseason or in coming up to the trade deadline, which has kind of proven to be very, very helpful for them. And Ottinger has been quite tremendous. A lot of big saves, as we've seen in the memes world. So the Dallas Stars are in every position possible to take this tonight. I just don't think that the Golden Knights are going to make it that easy. I think some of their guys who weren't involved in the last game are going to be a lot more involved in getting scoring going. Barbashev, he has a tremendous amount of hits. He's got to kind of shift back into that scoring column and help his team push the puck forward and not get so focused and locked in playing a defensive role. Hurdle was a little too silent last time. And if you guys think about it, this last game came down to one very stupid penalty. You can't have a leader in Pietrangelo that ends up in the box and giving up a goal in that really, really tight contest. The margin for error is next to none here. So I think the Golden Knights can swing a win tonight, but I also do, again, have seen this going to Game 7 since the beginning. Logan Thomas, in my opinion, better goalie here, a lot more lockdown. So I think we're going to see a closer game. I like the under 5.5 value here. I also like both of these teams to pick up a goal in the first period because they've been so consistent at coming out hot and trying to wear out the opposing goalie fast and play a lot more defense in that last stretch of the game. Third period is a big defensive battle. First period is swinging for those goals. So Golden Knights have every chance to do it tonight.
The Stars, the first team in this series, back in game number 5 to win on home ice. Can Vegas match that tonight in Sin City to keep this series and their season alive? Vancouver, Casey, could not ride the momentum of stealing game 4 in Nashville, scoring in the final 6 seconds of regulation, and then the OT winner back at home in Vancouver in game number 5. But the Canucks still have the series lead and have the potential to clinch tonight on the road back in Smashville. However, the Preds are the favorites, minus 132 on home ice. Will we see 7 between Vancouver and Nashville?
I think we'll see 7 if the Canucks can't step up their depth scoring. When you're looking at what the Predators have done so well in this series, not only has their defense eliminating scoring chances and shots on goal versus a Canucks team that was typically hot in that category, they averaged 28 shots on goal in the regular season. They've been minimized to 18 shots on goal in playoffs. But the Predators also edge in the fact that they have 11 contributing scorers versus the Canucks' 6 contributing scorers. And one main guy in that category is Besser, who has 4 of their goals throughout the series. They've got to get some other guys involved, and they have to continue to step up defensively. Of course, their goaltending issue has probably played a large factor here. They have to change their defensive style a little bit depending on who's behind them, and they are forced to play a lot more defense than focus on scoring. Their special teams aren't that solid throughout the playoff series, so I think the Canucks can close this one out. I think that they're fully aware of who they need to kind of contain. Forsberg is just impossible. He's all over the ice when it comes to hits, blocking shots, setting up his teammates, and finding that impossible goal when need be. But Besser and JT Miller and Peterson hasn't really been as sharp. So if they aren't so stressed out about the goaltending behind them and they can kind of get back into their normal roles, I think that the Canucks can close this one out. But if the Preds have depth scoring tonight and they're on home ice and the energy is there, we're seeing a game 7.
Still waiting for the NHL brackets to fill out for round number 2, but one thing we do know, the Rangers and the Hurricanes will be taking on each other. Now, hear me out on this. The Rangers, with more points than anybody in the NHL, are underdogs in the series coming up against Carolina to the tune of a minus 162 price. Looking at the series moving forward, is that price right for the Carolina Hurricanes, or is it a Rangers series for you, Casey?
I'm leaning towards Carolina right now. And a big factor to that, I'm not going to take away from what the Rangers have done tremendously. I'm not going to take away from Shesterkin. But your first round in playoffs was against a team with a minus 134 goal differential. They can't score. Their defense started to kind of crumble under the pressure. They didn't have much depth in their deep pairings past Carlson and company. So at that point, they didn't face as much pressure as the Carolina Hurricanes did, and Carolina didn't play their best hockey versus the Islanders, but they went up against a team that can score a bit more, they can challenge them defensively a bit more, and if Anderson can't get the job done, Kochetkov was just as brilliant throughout the season, and the 2 wins that the Rangers grabbed in the regular season were not against Anderson, so we're going to see a much different goalie matchup. As long as these teams stay off special teams, because the Rangers are solid on the power play and with shorthanded goals, Carolina can edge. They've got the depth, and they're hungry to make a point.
The Canes, the Cup favorites at this moment, plus 390 to win the Stanley Cup here in 2024. Casey Hudson, we appreciate your time on this Friday to set the weekend stage in the Stanley Cup postseason. Have a great weekend as well. Back to the NBA playoffs up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
2 game 6s in the NBA playoffs on this Friday night. two opportunities, of course, then to close out a series for one team on the road in Orlando. That's the Cleveland Cavaliers. For the others back at home, the Dallas Mavericks against the LA Clippers, who will be shorthanded once again. No Kawhi Leonard. He has been ruled out for game number 6 for Los Angeles. And we start with the nightcap in the game of which in this series, Donnie Wrightside has seen more minutes of. That's the Clippers and the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. Dallas up with a 3-2 series lead and an 8-point home favorite tonight in game number 6. Looking to win outright. Minus 330 for Dallas to clinch this series. 208 and a hook is the over under. So obviously, Donnie, the odds makers expect the Dallas Mavericks to cover or at least to clinch this series tonight with an outright victory against the LA Clippers. Can Dallas cover that 8-point spread?
I think they do. I really think they do. I think that series certainly was won in the previous game. You saw the Dallas Mavericks, a little bit of toughness here because you saw the Clippers have one of those big-time games. Again, unless we're looking at the Clippers going back to Dallas and getting a 20 or 30-point lead in the first half, they're not going to win this basketball game. And you see everything you need to know. We talked about it yesterday with the Pacers. You saw that strong line at 8 to 8.5. Drops a little bit with Lillard. I didn't think it mattered at all. I thought the Pacers would win that game. This was the one they had to clinch. They didn't want to go to game 7 where maybe Giannis and Dame would be back. They handled their business with relative ease and got some great performances out of their bench guys. I look for the same thing here for the Dallas Mavericks, but also if I think they win by double digits, that means the big boys had some big games here. You saw a great plus minus in Kyrie Irving last game without the points production. But the one thing that we know, it's almost like you can just print it tonight. If we're talking about a good offensive performance for the Dallas Mavericks in a victory, which I think we get, Luka Doncic, 33.5. You know he's going to be part of that equation. We even talked about a game last time on the road, knee injury, where it's like, hey, my knee's a little bit bulky and I'm under the weather and I'm still going to go out and dominate. I expect a monster performance out of Luka Doncic tonight. And even if you look at that line and figure it's too heavy, it's there for a reason. Dallas is going to win this game and win it going away by double digits for me.
Before game number 5, Dallas to win this series in 6 with the Mavericks a 3-point road favorite in L.A. And, of course, we expected Dallas to be a favorite even with Kawhi Leonard back into the fold in game number 6. It was plus 120 in the series correct score market, so I'm feeling good now that the Mavericks are a minus 330 moneyline favorite to win this series outright. But I agree with Donnie. I think Dallas rolls tonight. Again, if you are an underdog and you are shorthanded, what is the great equalizer? Shooting well from 3. The Clips in game number 4 on Sunday were 62% from deep. The Clips from game number 5 back at home in L.A., less than 30%. I'm not sure they get that production offensively tonight. Paul George was the leading scorer. He had 15 points. Ivica Zubats also had 15 points. That was it. James Harden had 7. Russell Westbrook, non-existent in that matchup as well. I don't know if LA finds its way to 100 points tonight. In fact, the Clippers, in their 3 losses this series, never more than 93 points. Donnie, the first 3 games of this set went well under. The first game total was 221 and a hook for game number 1. Here we are at game number 6, where the total from the opening game of this series, now to the 6th game of the series, has dropped by 13 points. And I agree with the movement. I actually think we stay under 208.5 tonight as Dallas closes out this series against LA. Luka Doncic, 33.5 is his points prop, 25 and a hook for Kyrie Irving.
And also, if we're looking from a betting perspective, you say, okay, the Mavericks are supposed to win. We get that. Donnie said they think they win by double digits. What's an angle that you would play for the Clippers? Well, I just told you, I don't think the Clippers are going to win this basketball game nor cover that spread. But you know what I know is not going to happen? That you're going to be down 15 points at the break. We're talking about the road team here, the Clippers, and have them come back and either win or cover that spread. If you want the Clippers tonight, you better take them in the first half. They played well the last time they were in Dallas. I don't know if they're going to do the same, but if there's any betting side that you say, Donnie, give me a reason to believe in the Clippers, they better be up at the break for a legitimate chance to win that game. If they're not, we just might be looking as James Harden's checked out again, 11.7 turnovers, doesn't do anything, and Paul George's like, hey, you know what? I'll be a free agent. I'm out of here anyway. I just don't want to get injured in this game. This has all the makings of a blowout, but if you do want to bet, the only way to bet the Clippers would be the first half for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. The Clippers in the first quarter, it's plus 2.5. It's a 2.5-point spread for those opening 12 minutes. The only thing I would say is that Dallas, without or in a game in game four where LA did not have Kawhi Leonard, trailed by a lot at the end of the opening quarter. We're down by 31 midway through the second. I think it will be reinforced tonight for the Mavericks not to get off to that slow start. They did rally all the way back to take a lead with just over 2 minutes left in regulation in that fourth game of the series before LA ultimately held on to win. I think Dallas comes out a little bit hotter from the opening jump tonight. First game of this doubleheader on a Friday in Orlando. The Magic now a 4-point home favorite, total at 200 and a hook. In all five games in this series, the home team has won. It's what the odds makers are expecting. Can Orlando, winning game number 6 tonight, keep its series and this season alive for the Magic to force a game 7?
Yeah, I don't want to tip my hand what my best bet is going to be, but I let the people know a few days ago that I looked at this line and said, even though, look, I want and need the Cavaliers to win that basketball game tonight. Yeah. I just don't think they're going to do that. They haven't shown me anything on the road. And also, as a handicap towards this game, which I do think Orlando at minus 4 is the right play here, and still, the under 200.5 does make some sense to me as well. But you're looking at the little signs of life, right? You went on the road as the Orlando Magic, and you almost beat the Cavaliers. That's something that a road team hasn't really shown up. So I think that momentum, even though they lost, carries back to Orlando tonight, and they handle their business. I would be very happy if Orlando doesn't handle their business tonight, but quite frankly, you got to remove the situation of rooting interest and say what makes the most sense in the moment. And to me, in the moment, it's the Magic.
We'll continue to preview this game on the other side, but the Magic handled business in game 3, winning by 38, and again in game 4, outscoring the Cavs by more than 30 in the second half to win by 23. That's an average margin of victory in Orlando for the Magic of 30.5 points per game. A best bet comes your way up next, too.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A few more minutes on this Friday, and a best bet comes your way before we send you into the weekend as well. But we continue to preview the doubleheader that we have tonight in the NBA. But when our time comes to a close at 11 a.m. Eastern, you'll have an hour on Newswire with Craig Mish. And then at 12 p.m. Eastern time, it's the debut of some new programming here on the Spiz Grizz. Relive the excitement in Singapore. Tune into the live post-round show for highlights and insights today at noon Eastern and this weekend, 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern time here on Sports Grid. Very, very exciting stuff. So, DRS, we go back to the game tonight in Orlando. Completely agree with what you're saying about the Magic, who were fantastic in games 3 and 4 at home, an average margin of victory of 30.5. Thus, you would expect if they carry that over, 4 points is nothing. But if I follow your train of thought, I have one more bet in this game. It's the Cavaliers under their team total of 98.5. Even when Cleveland won game 1 and 2 back at home, they did so with at most 97 points. In game 5, when Cleveland scored 100, it was the first time they reached the century mark in this series. They did not break 90 in games 3 or 4 back in Florida. I think Cleveland stays under 98.5 tonight.
And by the way, taking a look at some correlations here, if you think the Magic are going to win this game, which they favorite are, don't you figure that Banchero is going to have a big game for that to happen? Yeah. And he can still have a big game even if they don't win. But take a look at the last three games. 29 minutes, 31 points, 13 of 26 from the floor. Follows that up with 29 minutes, 9 points, and 4 of 14. Follows that up with 38 minutes, 39 points, and 14 of 24. So if we're going to guarantee that we're getting 20 shots out of Paolo Banchero tonight, which is about the average for that, look at his points prop, 24.5. looking at the – look, I know it can happen, right? He can have 15 yeah. points. They can win the basketball game. But it just feels right that if they play well, so does he. So it would be a minus four with a parlay with Banchero over 24.5, which I do think makes some sense. Again, rooting for Cleveland, but I don't think they win tonight. I think that number is telling you this is going to be an Orlando game and also that we're headed for a game seven. And I think Banchero also has a big performance as well. Not the most exciting game or the exciting series, but it looks like this series we're actually going to get seven out of.
So if you think we get seven and every team is one on their home floor, right now I would recommend this. Cleveland win the series in seven and the series correct score market at plus 130. The Cavaliers will not be an underdog more than likely in game seven on Sunday back in the land. All right, now we set you up for the weekend. NBA playoffs this weekend, the start of round two tomorrow night in Denver. Stanley Cup postseason action, the start of the second round this weekend as well at the Garden between the Rangers and the Hurricanes. But a ton of action before we get there, and the Kentucky Derby tomorrow on a Saturday. So before we say farewell and before we say goodbye, it is time now for a best bet. It is time for bye bye bye. Donnie Wrightside, what do you like entering the weekend?
Yeah, we'll take a look at this betting statistics tonight. I'm going to go with the Cavaliers in the Magic game. I already told you, I like minus four as my best bet today for the Magic. Tipped my hand a couple days ago, just the way I think this series goes. The percentage of bets on the spread in this game do favor Cleveland at 58%, but 56% of the money at the FanDuel Sports were coming in on the Magic. I'm going with the money tonight. I think the Orlando Magic get the win and the cover, and we find ourselves in a game seven. Magic minus four for me tonight.
Love the look, DRS. I'm on Cleveland under 98.5. And I'm also getting bet Cleveland to win this series in seven games, four games to three at plus 130. Game seven back in the land on Sunday. Cleveland's not going to be an underdog. You have a hedging out opportunity on the other side with Orlando to make some plus money. I'm going to give you a Kentucky Derby exotic. What? The box exacta. Mm. What that means is you pick two horses that you think are going to finish at the top of the race, and they can finish either first or second in the box. A straight exacta is you have to pick the correct finishing order. Give me the favorite in Fierceness, I think runs a great race. And then Catching Freedom as my other part of the box exacta. Don't know if it's going to hit. Just felt like we needed a derby bet. And I also go under 208.5. Go ahead.
I was going to say, how about the West African horse that's running tomorrow that Rick Haro picked to win it all? Do we have any action on that? How about that? Anything? No?
Sierra Leone, that's what you're referencing there. The second best price. Yeah. What a way to end out this week here on the Early Line. He's Donnie. I'm Ben. We'll see you on Monday. Have a good weekend.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.